Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast, where this week we've got a very special lineup for you, rarely seen on the channel at Football Daily. I'm joined by Mikey McCubbin and Zach Jalab. Zach, great to have you back on the podcast. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, really good, mate. Thank you. Yeah, it feels like a once in a blue moon for me on here, but I'm happy to be here and I think I'm buzzing to talk about what we're going to be talking about today.
Absolutely. Too busy hanging around Stamford Bridge. Looking forward to the rest over there. So, yeah, always nice to have you come back to your friends. You know,
never forget
where you started, all right?
Ain't that the truth?
Speaking of my friend, Mikey, how are you?
Yes. All right? Yeah, not too bad, mate. I actually came and watched you boys play a bit of football last night, which was pretty entertaining. So that was nice.
The Brighton of five-a-side, mate.
I won't mention a certain a certain sitter that was missed late on in the game. I'll save the abuse in the comments, but all I'll say is that it was a very Brighton-esque performance from you boys. Very Brighton-esque. Lots of XG, not much G. I'm doing well, thanks, Henry.
Oh dear, honestly, all I've had all morning is texts from Joe Tomlinson saying you're dropped. So, if anyone else has had a tricky time in front of goal, let me know in the comments below. It is true, the heat got to me, I had probably had about 10 chances to score, fluff my lines on a few occasions, but it's good to have some fanboys down there in McCubbin. And Zach, anyway, let's talk about some actual elite forwards this week and forget about my sort of frailties in front of goal, because we're kind of building up to the Cristiano Ronaldo return to the Premier League. Big game this weekend against Newcastle. And what we want to do is just profile every club's sort of main number nine, their main forward, put them into like elite tier, knocking on the door, solid marksman, or get back in the Championship. So sort of like that good to average category. We're going to put them in there and then try and pick our favourite forward, because there are so many good forwards in the competition right now in the Premier League. McCubbin, before we get into that though, I obviously, stuff to do with Cristiano Ronaldo aside, as a player, are you excited to see Cristiano Ronaldo, the player, back in the Premier League? And what are you expecting against Newcastle this weekend? Because to be honest, he couldn't have asked almost for a better game to kick his second Manchester United career off against.
Yeah, he really couldn't have. I think I might be wrong, but I think Newcastle was the only team he actually scored a hat trick against when he was a Man United player before. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that. But yeah, like you say, obviously, yeah, there's reasons why away from the football pitch, why I'm a bit conflicted over this transfer. Even on the football pitch, like I didn't think he was necessarily what United needed, but nevertheless, like getting an elite striker in. To complete that forward line in the short term at least is good, and obviously 2-year contract I think is a decent length as well. So there's a lot of things about the transfer that makes sense in that sense. Obviously, you know, one area of the squad is still pretty weak, but I'm interested to see how he's going to fit in that forward line. I think in some ways he's quite ideal for it. I know he's not going to offer much in terms of pressing. He's not going to work as hard as a player like, say, Edinson Cavani, whose work rate was excellent last season, off the ball at least. But I do think this United forward line is very much built around individual brilliance, isn't it? We saw that last season, that, you know, there were plenty of times in games where the kind of tactical build-up and things like that weren't really on the level of teams like Man City and Chelsea, but then you had moments of brilliance from players like Marcus Rashford, Mason Greenwood, and Cavani. And obviously with Sancho in there, he's one of the elite creators in Europe, at least he was during his first couple of seasons at Borussia Dortmund. Yet to really get we're yet to see a big sample size from him in the Premier League. I think this is a forward line that could really, really suit Ronaldo's strengths. So I think he could hit the ground running against Newcastle.
Awesome. Well, if anyone has got a plan to deal with Ronaldo, it's Steve Bruce. So I look forward to seeing that matchup this weekend. All right, let's crack on with the podcast proper. And we're going to start with quite a controversial one, actually. Arsenal. We're going to go in alphabetical order. We might jump around a little bit. Let's just see where the podcast takes us. But Zach, reminder of the categories again. Elite tier, knocking on the door. So we're looking at that kind of 15 goal plus area. Solid marksman. We're talking about those kind of 8 to 12 maybe kind of goals. And then get back in the championship. Not good enough. Lacazette, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Where are you putting these two? Because, I mean, opinions change.
Yeah, they do. I mean, if this was asked, say, 2 seasons ago, I think we'd be saying Aubameyang as elite tier. It's been quite a dramatic fall from grace for him, which has been, I mean, for me, quite enjoyable to see, but for others, sad to see. And it's a bit weird because it's very much just kind of unknown why. He's been playing in striking as the striker and also on the left wing. But this season that we're currently in and the season just gone, I think it's very, very hard to kind of... Like, his goals, only scoring 10 goals and getting 3 assists, puts him really in the solid marksman bracket. But we know that he is a better striker than that. And we kept saying all of last season that... that we're in that he can't do any worse than last season. However, having seen them so far this season in the Premier League, I don't know if he is going to be doing better. It seems just like he's not at the races. He got that £300,000 a week contract and said, okay, cool, feet up and here we go. But we know his level. He isn't elite here. Not anymore. But I think he is, even though he is knocking on the door. Because of his past success with Arsenal and in the Premier League, and maybe I'll be very surprised if he finishes this year with just 10 goals like he did last season. He only has 0 at the moment, but they have faced some pretty good teams in Chelsea and City. I mean, they also had Brentford, and he wasn't available for that game. I think knocking on the door, I think he'll be probably hitting around 15, 16 goals this season. And I think that's fair enough. As for Lacazette, I've never been a fan of Lacazette. For the past few seasons, ever since he's been at Arsenal, I didn't think he was necessarily that great. And last year was the most goals he got in the Premier League for them. And I still didn't think he was that great either then. Arteta had him out of the squad by the end of the season. And so for me, I'd say solid marksman. He's not getting the championship, nowhere near. But even though he got 13 goals last season, that was the most he's had in his career at Arsenal. I can't really go much further to see solid marksman. And I also just don't see him getting in the squad. Like, again, he's also scored 0 goals this season. But whereas Aubameyang will be starting, Lacazette, personally, just don't think he's going to be there. Like, they've got too many good younger players like Emile Smith-Rowe, Saka, who are going to be kind of filling those other positions. That's my take on the Arsenal forwards.
Ooh, I love that. Bit of a controversial sort of teeter towards putting Aubameyang in the solid marksman category. And then no problems at all shoving Lacazette in there. I mean, McCubbin, Lacazette, do you agree? Is he almost probably not good enough for the ambition which this Arsenal side is trying to sort of achieve? Or is he probably the level of forward that they can expect if you look at their sort of malaise in previous years?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Lacazette has always got a huge... I think the problem with Lacazette is that he is prone to dropping a bit of a clanger performance-wise. And I feel like that gets him undue disrespect. I think, you know, when Arsenal signed him, he was one of the best young strikers in Europe. And I still think he is a quality player on his day. Like, I think his link-up play can be really good. His kind of work aside from in front of goal, I think, can add a lot to the team. But yeah, it's a difficult one because I feel like there's maybe like a something between knocking on the door and solid marksman where he could fit. But yeah, I think he falls into that because I just think that knocking on the door category is going to have so many really, really good strikers in it. And I just don't think Lacazette is at that level anymore. Aubameyang, yeah, I agree. I think like he had a really tough year away from the pitch last year, didn't he? Aside from everything, and Arsenal were a bit of a mess during that time as well, like especially around that kind of Christmas kind of period where they really couldn't seem to pick up a point anywhere. And I think we need to remember as well that like the season before, he was playing on the left for the entire season, and yeah. yet he was still one of the top scorers in the league, and he was still doing, and he was doing loads more work for the team as well. So I think that ability to do that, and also be able to be such an effective in the box striker, does still set him apart. But yeah, you can't really look at the last 12 months and say that he's one of the Premier League's elite strikers right now. But maybe we'll be proved wrong over the next few months. But yeah, I'll agree with Zach on that.
Well, there we have it, Lacazette on in the Solos Marksman category. I still sort of back him to come good in the end. But anyway, let's move on to Aston Villa, who I think have just got such an excellent forward line options now, and Danny Ings and Ollie Watkins, 26 goals and 9 assists between them last season. We've already seen Danny Ings hit the ground running, 2 goals, 1 assist. I absolutely love that transfer. I think they did so well to sort of get him when they did. Obviously some people think they've overpaid a little bit, but I think that's just the premium you pay for a guy that you know is going to come in, score you goals, and he is different to Ollie Watkins, and I think that's, for me, they're both knocking on the door as two forwards. I think Danny Ings has been so consistent over the last few years, and I think Ollie Watkins is massively exciting. I should just say about Arsenal, there's obviously Martinelli and Balogun, but these are like some fairly young prospects we haven't seen much of in certainly the last 12 months, so we'll park those for now. We're looking merely at the kind of the guys that we expect to see. And with Aston Villa, that is Ings and Watkins. I mean, do you two have any complaints about knocking on the door? Zach, do you have any reservations about either of those being there?
No, not at all. I think knocking on the door is perfect. Be very interesting to see how the kind of goals are split this season once they're both in the starting 11, who's going to be kind of the dominant goal scorer for that side. I think knocking on the door is perfect for both of them. I don't think they're quite elite tier just yet. Maybe Watkins can eventually become that. Obviously, he's got a few more years on his side. But knocking on the door, I think it's a great shout.
Love that. All right. We're coming Brentford to one of my sort of more favourite players, Ivan Toney. Really hard to obviously call it at the moment.
Yeah.
Just a single goal in the season so far. Solid start by Brentford, must be said. You said there's maybe like a vague fifth category which we haven't included. I mean, where would you put him in? Because it's quite hard to place him, actually.
I think I just stick him in solid marksman at this point. I haven't seen, to be fair, I haven't watched enough of there's only been 3 games, and I haven't watched enough of out of those 3 games to really know what Toney is about in the Premier League. I can see him getting 10 to 15 goals this season for sure. I'll stick him in solid marksman. I actually might be a bit controversial. I would probably have put Watkins in solid marksman as well, just because we've only seen one season from him, and I just feel like that knocking on the door is already like quite stacked. I just don't think I'm not going to put Ollie Watkins at the same level as Aubameyang, whereas I would put Danny Ings there because I feel like Danny Ings has been like one of the Premier League's 5 best strikers over the last like 2-3 years. I'll disagree with that, but I'm happy for him to go in there if we're making a group decision. Ivan Toney, I think you just have to put him in solid marksman, don't you? Like 33 goals last season, and was really good on the creative side of things as well. Hopefully he can push on. But yeah, I think he's solid for now.
Now you say it, I do sort of agree with you on the Watkins. I could be swayed.
Stay.
Get in the comments below. What level do you think Watkins is ultimately running at?
Well, I really like Watkins. I really, really like Watkins. But if we're talking about the way I'm looking at it is kind of mainly in terms of like goal output and how lethal you are as a striker. And I think Watkins does loads of other great stuff. He's a really, really good all-round attacker, but I don't know whether he's earned my trust enough in one season to say that he's like
good season.
For sure. No disrespect to him at all, and like within a year I may well change my mind, but for now I'm being tentative.
Yeah, hasn't featured much this season so far, so let's see what he can do once he gets back to sort of full fitness. Ivan Toney, I think solid marksman's pretty fair enough. You can't really judge him too hard. Although to have broken that like championship goal scoring record, is unreal. And he seems like a real good guy as well. I think that we've got an interview with Tony somewhere in the Football Daily Sphere, which you should all go hunt out and watch now. Mm.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating US Wendy's.
Brighton, interesting one, actually. because there is an argument that, like, obviously, that, we were joking earlier about the whole XG missing out thing. Neil Mope only scored 8 times last season. However, like, I think he didn't hit his XG.
He's the reason.
But if he can turn that form around, which we're beginning to see already, 2 goals, he's already got a quarter of his haul this season. If he just adjusts his finishing a little bit, he is like a very solid marksman, almost sort of between that marksman and knocking on the door category, in my opinion. He is a very good forward. And I think that him just sort of finding his shooting boots again, which is entirely plausible. He scored a lot of goals for Brentford in the Championship. Once he does that, I do think he's actually a very effective forward. Zach, what's your opinion on that?
Neil Mopay, I'm sticking in solid marksman. Okay. I've never been necessarily too impressed by him. I mean, we'll get onto Danny Welbeck in a minute. He's the first one going back in the Championship. Neil Mopay, I want to say a safe shout of that he's a solid marksman and be pleasantly surprised this season that he goes and hits maybe 13, 14 goals for Brighton. Last year, a lot of kind of what we've spoke so much about their Brighton's XG, and that came down a lot to Mopay missing and Aaron Connolly missing a lot of chances for them. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Connolly here, and he's another one that I personally also think probably should go back to the Championship. Yeah, I've not necessarily watched. I think he's a good presser. I think he's very, very quick, but I've not necessarily watched him and been like, wow, he's insane, and he's exactly what Brighton needs. I've never been that impressed by him. But I mean, Potter actually does seem to quite like him. But Mopay, yeah, I think solid marksman, 8 goals last year for a down season is not bad by any means at all. As you said, he's already got 2 goals this season in 3 games. If he carries on like this, he'll be up near the 20 mark, so he can maybe then be knocking on the door instead.
All right, I just want to pick up on some shameful blasphemy you said there, which is Danny Welbeck being a Championship forward. Absolutely.
He's always injured as well, I guess I should say. But
The problem is with Welbeck, right, it's like, I'm thinking about this, it's really harsh because he's like, yeah, he's had so many injury problems over the years.
Yeah.
And he works really hard and his movement can be really good. And I think, you know, on his day, he's a very decent finisher as well. But I think it comes down to this, like, you couldn't trust Danny Welbeck to be your number one striker for a Premier League team. Like, you couldn't, like, I don't think any Premier League team would trust having him like up top, like week 100%. In, week out. And I think that kind of swings it. It's like, however unfortunate the reasons are for that, and obviously he's past his physical peak as well, isn't he? Is he like 30, 31 now?
I would be shocked if he's like 28.
Like, eternal youth. But I think he would be the first one for me to go down. Just on that basis, I just don't think you. I just don't think you start him, do you? If you have the choice, like Mopay is always going to get in ahead of him.
Even Connolly, Connolly seems to get ahead of him.
And I back that as well. I think six goals from
a season when you're out injured quite a lot, like you're not playing that much, is actually quite impressive. They were, if I remember correctly, quite important goals.
Yeah.
I think he might have got them, say, like 4 or 5 points last season. Even though Brighton, there was a period where they were quite in the relegation zone, is massive.
Mm. Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm willing to be outvoted on this one. I still think that he's. I don't know what it is, but I've got a real sort of affinity to Danny Welbeck. I think he, when he is playing well, he's never really hit like 10 goals in a Premier League in a league season, which is slightly concerning. But yeah, perhaps our first one to go back down to the Championship, albeit with, you know, an opportunity to come back if he just performs a little bit better. I'm amazed actually by Brighton's business this summer that they didn't get another forward in. If you think of all the areas they managed to successfully shore up. I'm amazed that they've decided to take on the season with Maupay, Welbeck, and as you say, Aaron Connolly, who I completely agree isn't really up to scratch for club or country. A few players who I think are joining them straight away are in the Burnley squad. Vidra and Rodriguez. Vidra got more minutes than Ashley Barnes and Jay Rodriguez last year, which...
I think Barnes was injured for a bit, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely baffles me. But yeah, that might
be. Rodriguez is one of the sad... Honestly, I used to love Rodriguez at Southampton. Like, do you remember how good his season was at Southampton, that he got called up for the... was it the Euros or the World Cup?
The World Cup, 2014, yeah.
And then got injured in like the last game of the season, or second to last game of the season, and then couldn't go. And it all just went downhill from that injury, because it was during that period of Adam Lallana, Lambert, in that Southampton squad.
I mean, even Luke Shaw made that squad, didn't he? Southampton absolutely dominated
He was brilliant. And I've always had this like weird affiliation, kind of, I guess, how you have with Welbeck.
Here we go.
Where I've always wanted him to do well. But I agree, like, I'm not going to go and say he's a solid marksman or anything like this. I think he's been also one that has been played with injuries, kind of similar to Danny Welbeck, and never really been able after that good form to get a good run of games. Ashley Barnes, Vidra, I also kind of agree. Barnes less so. I actually think Barnes is I feel like we might even need a tier between back to the championship and solid marksman.
We need seven tiers. We need seven tiers.
Exactly. Like, but I don't mind Barnes as much. He's just because I think he works for their game. But as for Chris Wood, I love that man. I love Chris Wood. I really do. Obviously he's a solid marksman, but I'd be close to saying elite forward, to be quite
elite.
everything he does, mate, one does it better than him. Holds up the ball brilliantly. He's the perfect Burnley striker. Wow. Mate. Yes.
Without Wood there in the championship,
oh yeah, 100%.
Like, without Wood last season, they would easily have gone down.
Do you know how much? I said it as a joke, but I wish it kind of happened that like City went in for Chris Wood. Like, I would have loved to see Chris Wood in a City side and just probably still bang like
honestly,
20 goals.
He is one of the worst, most effective forwards I've ever seen. Like, his finishing doesn't make sense to me. It's not. It looks like he almost hits the wrong part of his boot every time. Yeah, he does.
He does
pop up.
He's straight out of the 70s. Like,
you know. Defenders hate playing against him. Though they really do. Like, I've every game that he seems to play in, like, he causes a nuisance. Like, I remember that game last year when Liverpool at Anfield, and like Chris Wood was insane. Like, I absolutely adore that man. And for me, elite forward. But I doubt you guys are going to catch
him. I think what he is good at is like locating. Like, very quickly, like, identifying the weak centre back and targeting them, which I think a lot of strikers do that, but I feel like he's particularly good at that, especially against bigger teams. If there's a player who's slightly not that good in the air or whatever, I feel like he very quickly cottons on and just like dominates them all game. I think he's solid marksman for me. Just
fair. Well, Lacazette, cover your ears, because Zach Jelab's putting Chris Wood above you. It is. All right, we're going to race a few. We'll just skip Chelsea for a second. We'll get back to them. Crystal Palace, McCubbin, Odson Edouard, I think solid marksman. And Mateta, it's difficult to say, really. 7 goals and 1 assist for Mainz last season before he came on loan. Actually scored that great back heel, didn't he, for Crystal Palace last season. But hasn't really done anything. He's looking... it's hard to judge him too much at the moment. But Edouard looks like the solid marksman they need. I'm not too sure about Mateta. He might have to go down to the championship.
I feel like maybe let's just leave Mateta out of the conversation, because we haven't seen almost anything of him in the Premier League. At least I haven't. Feel like he didn't really get much game time even when he was on loan last season, did he? But Edouard, Edouard could be in the knocking on the door category in a few months' time, depending on how his season goes, because he's been pretty consistent for Celtic over the last few years, hasn't he? Like, he was, you know, being tipped for a move to Leicester. I think Crystal Palace, if anything, is slightly below his level. Sigurd solid marksman, but I think he could be knocking on the door by the end of the campaign.
All right, well, let's see. What an unbelievable transfer that was by Palace. Zach, Everton, First of all, I'm just going to say Solomon Rondon is the most unappreciated free transfer of the window so far. I love him. You look at his record. He scores goals wherever he's gone. He's such a hard-working player as well. He's got 4 goals and 2 assists and 10 appearances for CSKA last season, having scored 9 in 16 during his final kind of period with Dalian in China. Won't read into that too much. I actually think under Benitez... I think he's in the vague category between knocking on the door and solid marksman. I really do. Okay. I've got real kind of affiliation for Rondon there.
Oh mate. Oh mate. Jesus Christ.
That is not the worst shout you'll hear on this podcast today.
I've never seen more of a backup striker in my entire life. They sat the bed and was like, what if Dominic Calvert-Lewin gets injured?
There's nothing wrong
with
it.
Who else is good in the air can hold up the ball?
There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm not going to say get back in the championship, but like he's close. He's close.
Really?
He's about four years older than when he was last. Maybe
he's 31.
Years older than he was last in the then when he was last in the Premier League, I didn't think he was great then. I'm not going to be like I'll be very surprised if he gets more than say 7 goals, if that, this season. And partially that won't be his fault. I just don't think he's going to play that much. To be quite honest, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's going to be ahead of him. And so maybe it's not necessarily his fault. I'll happily say solid marksman for him. I mean, as for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, like this guy, last season, he started so well. And I can't remember, did he pick up an injury or anything? Off the top of my head.
I don't think so.
Not like I remember.
No, okay, yeah. Well, then he slowed down throughout the season. I mean, Everton in general slowed down throughout the season, to be quite honest, especially James Rodriguez. But like he is a knocking on the door striker for me. I know he got 16 last year, maybe not quite the higher levels you want for a knocking on the door striker. And I do believe he can be an elite tier forward. I don't think he's going to be an elite tier forward at Everton, if I'm being quite frankly honest. I think he would need a move away, and he's admitted this himself. He said that he needs that next move away to probably take his game to the next level. Playing at a better side, maybe a top six side.
Wow.
I just don't know whether that transfer will ever come for him, sadly, like unless maybe Arsenal in a few years time could have the money to try and do something like that. I don't really see a side going a Chelsea, a United, a City or Spurs or something, Liverpool, going in for him. I mean, maybe a Liverpool one would be quite interesting, to be fair. But yeah, I mean, I think he can be elite tier. I just don't think he's going to reach it, sadly.
No, fair enough. Yeah. All right.
Well, the problem is a lot of top-level sides don't necessarily look for a striker with Calvert-Lewin's skill set, do they?
Yes, very true.
But what he does is like almost, he's almost as good as anyone in Europe. But I agree. Yeah, I think he's knocking on the door. I think if he does a 20-plus goal season for Everton in the Premier League, then I'm happy to put him in elite, to be honest. Because I think doing it in a side like Everton, which still does have some pretty significant limitations, to be able to do that in that side, you know, like Lukaku did back in like the mid 2010s, when I think Everton were actually probably a bit of a better team. I think that would put him in elite.
I agree. Well, if we just move on to Chelsea quickly, can we all just, we don't have time to talk about everyone, we'll all just agree that Lukaku is in the elite tier. I think full conclusion, he is. He's probably, in my opinion, the best striker in the world at this very moment in time in terms of what he's doing on and off the pitch, with Lewandowski maybe, one of those two. Werner, however, I do not think is in the elite tier. I think he's firmly knocking on the door once he rediscovers some confidence. His finishing is just so wayward at the moment. His sort of clinicality in front of goal is just such a concern that I won't pester you too much on this, but I struggle to put Werner on the same light as Lukaku at the moment, or some other like elite forwards at the moment.
Yeah, mate, I'm in complete agreement. To be fair, I was quite surprised you said knocking on the door. I was thinking you might go slightly lower, solid marks.
I thought about it.
Again, it's kind of the Brighton thing with Werner. It was like he can't be missing as many chances as he did last year. Like there were some misses last year where you just go, it's voodoo, to be quite honest. It was crazy. Like the one against Leeds to this day still baffles me. And he seems to have picked up some confidence internationally as well already. Scored, I think, twice for Germany this international break. and got an assist. And so, yeah, I think it's not going to be anywhere near as bad as it was last season. The worry is whether he plays. Obviously, Lukaku's now taken that centre-forward slot, and so he's only got the kind of that left-wing spot, and that seems to be Kai Havertz at the moment, and Kai's been brilliant. And then he's also fighting for Pulisic, for Mason Mount, for Callum Hudson-Odoi, for Hakim Ziyech. And so yeah, I think he's definitely the guy that will probably play. He's essentially like third in line. It's Mason Mount, Kai Havertz, then Timo Werner. And so I think he'll link up very well with Lukaku. We've yet to see that. We obviously saw him thrive at RB Leipzig in a kind of two up top formation where he had that kind of focal point of Lukaku to run off of. And I think Lukaku and him can form a really good relationship. I don't know when that's going to happen. But yeah, no, I agree. Like, I'm happy to say knocking on the door. And I think this season is going to be better than last season. It's just about how much he plays.
Almost a 3 out of 5. No, fair enough. Okay. McCubbin, Leicester City, is this the year we see Vardy maybe fall down to solid marksman, do you think? Or do you think
solid marksman? I think this is the one that I was thinking about a lot before we came on here, and I think Vardy is I think Vardy's knocking on the door now, and I'll say what I just think that
50
the problem is not the problem. Yeah, I think Vardy is like an understated Premier League great in many ways, like the league win in 2016, the fact that he's continued that form at such an age, like everything about his story as a footballer is really inspiring, but I think the one thing I have with Vardy, like, he's been so important to Leicester over the last few years, but I think if you plonk him in another City team, and I guess we could maybe say, like, similarly to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, like, to an extent, like, Jamie Vardy needs a team that is completely plays to his strengths. And I think if you put him, say if Vardy had gone to Arsenal in 2016, I don't think he would have had the Premier League career that he's had, personally. Like, I think, like, Leicester has always been so, as a club, and the way that they've been set up has always been so geared towards providing for him in the way that he wants, balls over the top, hit for him to run in behind and whatnot. And when they haven't played in that style, or they haven't provided for him in that way, I feel like their goals have dried up a bit. I feel like it'll be interesting to see how Patson Daka gets on with coming into the side, because I feel like he could be a good replacement for him in the long term. And I feel like for that reason, and that reason alone, he just goes down into knocking on the door. Also, the fact that he hasn't, like, put up 20-plus goals in a couple of seasons now, I believe. In 2020 he got 20-plus, didn't he?
He did.
I feel like a lot of those were pens as well, though. Yeah, but, like, I think he's as close to elite, I think, as there is pretty much in this group of strikers. Personally, I don't know what you boys think. Do you put him in elite?
No. I think he burned out pretty quickly last season. There's a big goal drought, and I think we might see that again this term. Although it's a bit tricky. Leicester aren't the most forward playing football team. They tend to wait until like the 60th minute, certainly against the bigger sides, before really kind of going after the game, which makes it a bit harder. He just feed off scraps for a while. But yeah, I think, like you say, he is such a Premier League legend that it almost doesn't even matter. Like, his legacy is greater than 99% of the players that we're going to talk about on this list when it comes to...
Still do it at this age as well is amazing, isn't it? Like, to do it at this age still is brilliant. Like, we can't disrespect him at all. But when we end this show and we've got the elite strikers, I just don't think you put Vardy in with them, do you?
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is actually a very good point. I agree. I think he has had such a fantastic career, but I guess I can say he's maybe dropped down to that level. I mean, I wouldn't be maybe too surprised if he did just absolutely slap it again this season. But I mean, 15 goals, 9 assists last year is nothing to be laughed at, and I think he had a solid year.
Zach, where would you put Iheanacho out of interest? Because obviously he's had a bit of a glow up in the last 12 months, hasn't he?
He has. And I think he's solid marksman. I know he came in, especially during that period where Vardy had his goal drought, especially towards the end of the season, and he killed it for Leicester. But he's just not going to play enough. Like he must have seen Leicester bringing in Dakam. He must have gone, Christ, well, what does this mean for me? Like last season, when I was scoring, I was showing you guys that I'm good enough, and then they went and bought a striker to play essentially ahead of him. And so far, he's yet to score 12 goals and 2 assists last season. Some big goals as well to get them to kind of keep them in the battle for top four. But I don't think he's going to play enough to become a knocking on the door striker. I know he's still fairly young as well, and maybe he needs to transfer somewhere else, or he's waiting for kind of Vardy's career to dwindle out again. But you just, with the amount of Red Bull that man has, you just don't know when that's going to be. I say solid marksman, and could go up. Just depending on how much he plays.
I agree. I do think that Daka is more of like a wide forward, sort of similar to Lookman in that regard. So I do think if they go for two up front, Iheanacho will have opportunities to play there. We saw him be quite useful towards back end of last season. But yes, I agree with you. I think solid marksman is fair enough. Right. What I'm going to do is there's a few of these which are like fairly obvious in the rest, because I want to talk about the more controversial perhaps players. So I'm just going to list off a few and say what I think. And if either of you disagree, by all means, sort of interlude. Okay, so we look at Tottenham, Harry Kane and Son, I think both elite. I don't think you can argue 100%. That whatsoever. 100%. I think if you look at Watford strikers, Emmanuel Dennis and Josh King, I think Josh King get back in the championship for me. And Emmanuel Dennis, I don't know, he's obviously had a good start of the season, but I'm just not convinced by him at all. I'm willing to accept solid marksman, but
I think it's hard to say until we see him this season. Like, he very much is like, no idea. Whereas with Tony, he was a bit more like he could be either or. Dennis, I think, very much is going to be like back in the championship or solid marksman.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, similar kind of story of Southampton, Che Adams and Adam Armstrong. I think they're both solid marksmen. I think Adam Armstrong has shown a lot of potential this season. I think he's really hard working, and that could be an excellent find by Southampton. They've been absolutely crushing it for Blackburn. And Che Adams, I actually think, with given more importance, sort of big role in the international scene, both solid in my opinion there. McCubbin, what's your take on Josh Sargent and Timu Pukki at Norwich City? Is there much to say?
I think Josh Sargent, unfortunately, probably championship. I mean, he was playing in the Booley 2 last season, wasn't he?
This season he scored twice in the Booley 2 before he joins
Not seen enough of him, though. I can't really form a huge opinion on Josh Sargent. Timu Pukki, I think I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I think solid marksman. Like, he has shown that he can do it in the Prem. The goals obviously did dry up that season, but equally, was that his fault? Was it just the attack around him that wasn't really performing too well? I'll give him solid marksman. To wipe out any danger of doing a Joe Tomlinson and seeing him score 5 goals in a month.
That's so true. Zach, what about Raul Jimenez at Wolves? It's so hard to say once more. But him, I think for me, Fabio Silva is a championship forward. I mean, I just feel so sorry for his move to Wolves. I feel like that was way too
young. He's so young, though. Like, he could become... Yeah, exactly. Like, Fabio Silva could eventually become something. He just needs game time, doesn't he? And he's sitting on the bench at that age. It's just so, like, feels wasteful. I kind of agree, yeah. Jimenez, man, it's hard to tell now. It really is until after such an injury that he had. It is going to be difficult to tell. I mean, beforehand, I would have probably said he was like, knocking on the door. To be quite honest, 17 goals, 16 assists the season before last, and last season 4 goals in 10 appearances. It's not too bad. Then he had that injury. It's just about how he comes back, whether he's the same player and he plays the same way. Does he fit into that Wolves side now that it's under Bruno Lage, especially with how many chances they're creating? God, I am happy to say knocking on the low end of knocking on the door.
Okay.
Just due to what he had of his past experience. I feel it's a bit harsh to say solid marksman after what he's already done. But we just don't know yet.
Yeah, absolutely true. Someone I think is definitely knocking on the door, McCubbin. Mikhail Antonio. I think he's...
Yes!
He's unreal. He's unreal.
Elite! The guy. Elite!
I think he's on the cusp between solid marksman and knocking on the door, isn't he, for me?
No!
I think he's at the bottom end of... Like, I really like Mikhail Antonio, right? But, like, I really like him. And, you know, in terms of, like, in terms of what he's done for West Ham over the last few years, playing so many different positions and eventually ending up as a striker and bearing that burden as well, where they've failed to land like a decent centre forward in the transfer market over so many years. You have nothing but respect for him. But I do think like this early season form, it is like a massive purple patch, like 4 goals and 3 assists in 3 games is mad. It's brilliant. But let's see like how that progresses. Like he got 10 goals and 5 assists last year, which was very good, like very good output. But equally, like, I rate him as much as like Calvert-Lewin. I just don't know if I do, like, as a striker. Like, I think he does like so much great work, but that's you know, I feel like we have to have a bit of a, you know, disagreement somewhere, so I'm happy to say that like Antonio's on the cusp there. I wouldn't put him straight in knocking on the door.
Oh dear. Well, for me he goes straight in there. So I'm absolutely, what a fan. United, obviously Ronaldo's elite. Cavani, I'd say elite. I think he's everything he's achieved. You cannot take that away from him at all. Same with Liverpool, Mo Salah, definitely elite. It's hard to say which one of these are sort of out and out number nines. Bobby Firmino, where are you putting him now, Zach?
Knocking on the door. 9 goals and 7 assists last season isn't bad, especially the way Liverpool play. Like, he isn't the main goal scorer, so it's fair enough. And he was also kind of, out of that front three, he was the one that's kind of swapping out for players, whether that be Diego Jota or someone else. And so I think he's not elite anymore, personally. But I comfortably say, knocking on the door.
Well, yeah, I agree with you with that one, Zach, there. Knocking on the door for Bobby Firmino. Quickly, McCubbin on City. Obviously, we've seen Ferran Torres play down the middle at the moment. But Gabby Jesus... Where are you putting him at the moment? Do they almost not have a number nine worth considering in this debate?
I think he's knocking on the door. I think he's got a very good record for Man City generally over the last few years. I think last season was his, I think in terms of, was his least prolific for City. And obviously, you know, Pep didn't really trust him fully in that number nine position. Playing De Bruyne there, playing Sterling there, playing, you know, Foden there even on occasion. Even Gundogan, I think, was playing in a false nine role at one point. I guess that's just what suited him at the time. But I think Jesus is... I still think Jesus has the makings of an elite striker. Like, he is... Like, his movement in the box can be, like, superb. Like, on the ball, like, I still think he's very solid. Like, and, okay, he's not necessarily, like, reached the level that we thought when he was, like, an 18-year-old wonder kid. But at 24, I think he's still got a very good Premier League record in terms of scoring and assisting. And I think he can still get better. So like, I think I put him very, very solidly in knocking on the door.
All right. Zach, last but not least, the grand finale, Callum Wilson at Newcastle United. I'd put him in knocking on the door as well. I know it's for different reasons to what McCubbin's sort of articulated about Gabby Jesus. I just think Callum Wilson is such a vital striker to have for someone like Newcastle. He really does hold them up there. Obviously, you could say maybe solid marksman, but for me, he really is sort of a cheat code when it comes to sort of at least getting the goals necessary to stay in.
Yeah, I mean, we have also missed Patrick Bamford, by the way, just to say.
Knocking on the door.
Knocking on the door. Callum Wilson, I agree. I think he is probably knocking on the door. If he was at a better club, he'd be scoring more goals. Like, he's so important to Newcastle. And at times, like, they're only, him and Saint-Maximin are like the only way they stay up, to be quite honest. And you saw without him as well last season, when he gets injured, Newcastle just don't really have that outlet. They don't know who to go into. They don't know who to rely on to score goals. And so even though, yes, he doesn't maybe fit the criteria of how many goals he scored last season, with only 12 and 5 assists, to fit maybe knocking in the door striker, he is so important to that team. And if he was maybe in a better team, he would be scoring more anyway. So yeah, I'll go knock on the door.
See, I think if he played for Leeds, he'd score as many, if not more, than Bamford, in my opinion. Callum Wilson.
Ooh.
So that's my controversial thing to end on, I suppose. But, but yeah, anyway, that's it. That's our take. We're running out of time rapidly here on the Extra Time podcast. But that's our take on where we think every forward in the Premier League stands. Mikey, Zach, we don't really have time to push or anything. But thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today. This was really fun. Guys, let us know in the comments below what you think and what you'd like to see us talk about next time on the podcast. We're always looking for ideas. Thank you for sort of watching wherever you are. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. Really give us a like to boost this video up the algorithm. And we'll be here next time. Thank you, and we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.